Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So last week we began the new year by looking at how we ourselves are fixer-uppers, of how we can look to be able to improve ourselves in this new year, to be able to be reflective of who God has created us to be. And so last week we looked at how it is that we essentially sign that contract that says, yeah, Lord, I'm in for a remodel. I'm ready to make changes that need to be. I'm ready to be a better person. So this week we look at the first step in the process. And as somebody that has a house that's going through this process called the parsonage, I've kind of been paying attention to what happens. And it's funny. What is the very first thing you need to do when you realize that you have a problem? You got to get rid of the problem, right? So if you have broken boards or rotted boards or things to where the integrity of them has been compromised, the first thing you have to do is the demolition of taking out the bad, right? Taking out the things that are broken, taking out the things that have rotted, taking out the things that can no longer do their job and be effective. Now, you could consider, all right, I've got some rotted boards, I'll just put a new floor right over it, and then it will look nice and clean, it will be sturdy on top. But guess what happens if there's rot underneath or broken underneath? The integrity of it is not there still. Even though you've got that nice new floor, it's still compromised because of the bad underneath. So the first thing you have to do is get rid of the bad. That's always, to me, the fun part of the projects when you watch, like, HGTV, is getting to watch them take a sledgehammer to the house and the walls. I asked our contractor if I could help with the sledgehammer, and he said no. It kind of disappointed me. I think it'd be fun to kind of break some stuff up. But that's the first thing they do, is that demolition of getting things out that can't be there before you build back up. So today we look at in being the new and better us, of how we improve ourselves, of what is the demo or demolition that's needed in our lives. What is it that we need to purge from ourselves before we can add in the things that we really need? And to do that, here we're looking at the 51st Psalm. And this to me is one of the most heartfelt psalms in the whole book. This is one where David has just been caught in adultery with Bathsheba. David has cost Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, his life. Here he has made some horrible decisions and has had some pretty significant consequences to it. And it says in the introduction to this psalm that at this point, the prophet Nathan is coming to see David, and David knows he's in trouble. And this is the psalm that's attributed to that time. Now, it says a psalm of David, which means one of two things. It says either David wrote it or David had it written for him. And if David had somebody write it for him, it would still be attributed as a psalm of David because he's the one that had it written. And so whether David wrote this or had it written, here is David's heartfelt plea to God to get himself back where he needs to be after these tragic decisions that he's made. Now, we're going to look a little bit at the Hebrew of this to really understand what David is saying in this psalm. And the first two verses, three verses, are very powerful. Here we have David, and what does he open with? But the words that he uses to describe God. He says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love." This word steadfast love is called hesed. It's the first word in your insert. And hesed is the deepest of all loves that you can ever reach. This is the one that goes not the extra mile, but the extra 10 miles. This is that unconditional love that speaks only of God because no one else can quite get to this depth. This word love, there are many words that are used for love, but this word love is used over 240 times in the Old Testament alone. When that very deep, undeserved love of God is what's being spoken of. So here it's that love that David is seeking. According to that steadfast, deep, unconditional love that can only come from you, God, that's what I'm looking for. And beyond that love, he's looking for a second thing. He says, according to your steadfast love and according to your abundant mercy. Abundant. Have you ever had something abundantly? Maybe if you have a fruit tree and that fruit tree produces the way it's supposed to, and what do you end up with but this abundance? And oh my goodness, what am I going to do with all these lemons, all these oranges, all these kumquats? What am I going to do with them? Because you just have an abundance and it's more than you can actually bear. This is the kind of mercy that David is referring to here. This is the kind of mercy that this word is only used when it comes from the top down, from a master to a servant, from the creator to his creation. The kind of relationship that we see in the parable that Jesus speaks of the unmerciful servant. What happens but the master, the landowner, sees a servant that has a debt so large he could never pay it off if he lives 10 lifetimes. And what does the master do? But the master chooses to give him mercy. A mercy that is so abundant, it's something that could only come from the master. Because the master is the only one that could forgive that debt. And yet he does it. Of course, in this parable, the servant turns around and is unwilling to give that kind of mercy to another. But that relationship of the master to the servant, that kind of mercy that says, you could not repay this, you could not do this for yourself, but I desire to do this for you because I care about you. That's the kind of mercy that David's talking about. This is the kind of mercy he seeks from God. God, I can't dig my way out of this pit. I can't get out of this hole. I can't repay the debt of what I've done to you or Bathsheba or Uriah. You, God, are the only one that can give me the kind of mercy that I need. So here David says, all right, God, the God of steadfast love, the God of abundant mercy, I need three things. He lays out three things to begin with. He says, number one, blot out my transgressions. Transgressions or pesha. Pesha is translated transgressions, and it really means defiance or rebellion, okay? Defiance or rebellion, and I most often think like parent-teenager relationship when that teenager just won't do what they're told to do. That totally rebellious, I don't care what the house rules are, I'm going to do it my way. That's the transgressions. When God is the parent and we are the child and God is saying, here's the house rules, here's how I need you to live, and we're saying, that's really great, God, that that's how you want me to live, but I am an adult and I'm going to choose to do this instead. That defiance of God, that rebellion that says it doesn't matter what you desire for me, this is what I'm going to choose again. And David says, blot that out. Think of you like spill on your couch. What do? You're not going to get your paper towel or your rag and like rub it out, are you? Because then it's just going to spread everywhere. But you blot it. You get that towel on top of it so it soaks it up before it goes any further. And so what is David saying? Blot it out. Stop it and remove it from me before it spreads any further, before it enters any other aspect of my life. So blotting out that transgressions is the first thing. The second thing he says is wash away my iniquity. Iniquity in Hebrew here is awan, which is really translated crookedness, okay? Crookedness. Now what does that mean? Like, is God calling us crooks? Is he calling us thieves? No, he's saying we're just not perfectly straight. This week in Bible study, I was talking about a book that I love by an author named Brennan Manning, and one of the chapters is called Tilted Halos. And it's that perfect image for us that we have these halos that we're able to be perfect, but they're just slightly tilted. We're just slightly imperfect. We're just slightly more impatient than we should be. We're just slightly more unloving than we should be. Those imperfections that we have where we could be better and we should be better, but just by the nature of who we are, we're just kind of imperfect, you know? I don't sit up perfectly straight, and I should sit up perfectly straight, but I naturally slouch when I should sit up straight. In my life, I have my ways that I just kind of slouch. I'm not quite where I should be. And I realize what those are. I know those quite well of myself. I won't use them now, though. Those imperfections that we have, those places that need to be justified and smoothed out in our personality and within our DNA. And what does David say? But just wash those out. Here I could see David saying, God, use your power washer, use all of the force, and just push them right out of me and right down the drain, because these are the things I really don't want in my life. So here he's looking to get rid of the defiance and the rebellion and the crookedness. And the last thing he says, and cleanse me from my sin. He uses the Hebrew word, and there's a lot of Hebrew words for sin, let me tell you. But he uses the word chitah, which really, it's translated very similarly to a word that's used in the Greek in the New Testament. And it means missing the mark, okay? Missing the mark, which is a very different definition of sin than we think. I think so often it's that rebellion and defiance, and I'm just going to intentionally do what I'm not supposed to. But hear this, missing the mark. Think of archery, okay? I was a scout. I learned how to shoot a bow and arrow. I even tried to shoot a bow and arrow in Japan in like the old ancient traditional style, and I stunk at that one. But anyways, so archery, you know, you get your bows and you get your bow, and what are you looking at? But you're looking at a target, however far away, right? And what is it ideally? But ideally, you're going to hit the bullseye, that littlest spot right in the middle, okay? Now, I don't know about you, but I'm going to aim at the bullseye. 99.9% of us probably aim for the bullseye. So what do? We pull up our bow, we point it at that bullseye, and the best we can, we aim at it. And we do everything that we can to hit that bullseye with that bow and arrow. Now, maybe there's an expert marksman in here that can hit that bullseye every time. But for the majority of people, they're going to hit that bullseye sometimes, but then sometimes it's going to stray and it's going to miss the mark. This is that definition of sin, where you're doing everything you can, you're aiming to do right. I woke up this morning, and this is the day where I'm going to do everything the way God wants me to. I'm going to show all those fruits of the Spirit. I'm going to love my neighbor. I'm going to love God. I'm going to do everything I can. And then we walk out the door, and we just kind of miss the mark when we realize that our neighbor has, like, pushed all their snow onto my driveway. I'm going to use that because I've never had that problem before. But when immediately somebody's upset us, and where we've had every intention of doing right, every intention of being who we are, we just miss the mark. We just don't quite get there. 99% of people saw God in me today, but 1% didn't, because I just missed the mark in those moments. When we have the intention of right, but we miss the mark and don't quite make it. David says, wash me, cleanse me from these. Help me to be more of an expert markman. Get me away from those stray arrows, those stray bullets that aren't doing what I want to be doing. The psalmist seeks to be stripped of his pesha, his transgressions, his awan, his crookedness, and his chitah, his sin. His confidence to ask of these. Now you gotta actually think about that. The confidence to ask of these. Adultery, murder, deception. These are pretty bad marks on his record. And yet he has confidence to come to God, to ask God's mercy. How does he have such confidence to be willing to ask? It comes from his knowledge of God's rakam, God's abundant mercy that seeks to bring security to the life of the one for whom the compassion is felt. How does he have that confidence? Because he knows the abundance of God's mercy, and he knows what God wants is for us to be secure, for us to be whole, for us to be right. He knows what God desires of him. He knows the mercy that God can give him, and he comes with that confidence. God, do what only you can do. Now there's a process behind it, right? To get cleansed, to get washed, to get blotted out isn't always an easy process. If we think about what our transgressions are and what our iniquities are and what our sins are, number one, we probably don't want to sit and list them all because it can be a pretty harsh list if we get really down into it. But then to think, now what is the process of getting through these? I think about going to the gym, all right? I want to put muscle on my body. What do I have to do? I got to go to the gym or find a weight set, and I'm going to start lifting weights, right? But how do you build those muscles? Well, the first thing you have to do is break down those muscles. And then when those muscles are broken down in the repair, it builds them up bigger than when they started. But there's a painful process in there. Those muscles are sore. Those muscles hurt. Because change is difficult. Change can be painful. Change can hurt. To have to face our imperfections, to have to face our transgressions in the places where we're disobedient, it can be pretty hard to face those. But when we get those out of our lives, when we're able to make progress in changing, we find ourselves better on the other side. We find ourselves with a greater integrity. We find ourselves with a greater strength. We find ourselves standing up straighter because we're happier with who we are and what we see in the mirror. But part of the challenge comes when we look in that mirror. Sometimes we don't see what God sees. Sometimes it could be easy to be like David and look in the mirror and all you see is those imperfections. Those that say, I'm not worth it. God's not big enough. But we go back to this steadfast love. We go back to this abundant mercy that says that there's enough. So what do we have to do to make those changes? What do we have to do to cleanse ourselves of those imperfections and do that demo so that we could put the good stuff in us and build ourselves up? One, we need to realize this great quote from Will Kynes. He says, our lives are infused with the chesed, with the steadfast love we experience from God, creating new relationships with those around us as his goodness pours through us. How are we able to create new? How are we able to get rid of the rot and the imperfections? To be able to see God's steadfast love pouring into us and pouring out of us. To be able to receive strength through his love, to be able to receive healing through his love, to be able to get the endurance we need through his love, to see that it is steadfast, that it will not give up even when we want to. But even more so, as we look at ourselves and our lives, something we need to realize is that we must accept God's chesed, God's steadfast love for us, and have chesed, steadfast love for ourselves. How do we give steadfast love to ourselves? In doing so, we can seek to be stripped of our iniquities and impurities that compromise our integrity and limit our happiness. The first step is to give ourselves steadfast love. Maybe the other part is giving ourselves abundant mercy, giving ourselves a break, giving ourselves the ability to make a mistake and come back from it. How do we do that? To look in the mirror and love ourselves in the way that God does. Because we are worth it. We aren't like some of these houses that people look at that they drive by and say, somebody just needs to bulldoze that and start again. I've been looking, there's a house right here on Post. And I don't know if you've seen it, but they've taken it right down to the studs. They've taken everything out except the frames of the walls and the roof. And here they're ready to start from the bare bone basics of what it is. That maybe it's getting to that point. Maybe it's stripping ourselves of almost everything and starting from this fresh point. But we're worth the work it takes to do that. We're worth doing what David has done of seeking for God to blot us out, to cleanse us, and wash us. We see later in the scripture, David shows us just how to do it. He says it's not in sacrifices. It's not in bulls and rams. He says, what is it, God, that you desire but a broken spirit and a broken heart? What is that but the realization of our brokenness, the humility it takes to say, God, I'm not perfect. God, I'm a little broken, but I need your help. I need your help to get me where I need to be. And God says, I'm right there. I'm right with you, and I will never leave you. I've been here all this time. So what do we conclude with? But I found this quote by Elizabeth Webb, and she says, Hesed, abundant love, or steadfast love, and Rachem, abundant mercy, not only heal us of the stain of sin, but also of the lie of our worthlessness. Realizing God's steadfast love, God's abundant mercy, and accepting these in our lives can help us to be whole and be able to see ourselves through God's eyes if we're willing to go through the process. My friends, will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for the depths of your love. We give you thanks for the abundance of your mercy. We give you thanks on this Sunday when we celebrate Jesus' baptism to be reminded that baptism is that process that cleanses us from our sins, that we have been washed by your Holy Spirit. And any time that we want, we can be washed once again through the gift of your Spirit. Help us to be the ones that come on humbled knees to seek your help, to seek your guidance, to seek your strength when we need it most. For you have made us fearfully and wonderfully beautiful in your eyes. Help us to be just that in this world as your steadfast love pours out of us into those around us. For all of this, Lord, we pray in your most holy and amazing name. Amen.